All right, everyone, welcome back. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. This is going to be probably one of the most fun part of the conference, which is the end of the day. I'm sitting here with Carrie Cassidy and Bill Ryan of ProjectCamelot.org, Project Camelot. We are at the end of the Awake and Aware conference in LA. It is Monday, September 21st. We've had quite an amazing conversation before we even got started, but what we're here to do is to talk to Bill and Carrie, to talk to you guys and just share with you their own thoughts, their own processes, and there's information that will be shared here that haven't even been discussed between the two of them, so it'll be awful fun. So go ahead, guys. Whoever first.
Well, the first thing I want to say to anyone listening out there is don't do a conference for fun and don't do a conference to make money, because you need to have a different reason for that. It's fun afterwards. It's a bit like organizing any kind of party, really. I mean, what it is, it's a giant party. And what I think made this work, and I'm really starting to understand this now, is like everyone brought their own music. The speakers brought their own music, definitely, wonderful music. And the guests, the paying delegates, and some of my friends who we invited along off record, they brought their own music, and there was something very special about this. And from the inside, it's a little hard to tell, just like at a dinner party. You're in the kitchen, you're doing the dishes, and you're kind of trying to cope with this and trying to handle that problem and calling a taxi, and actually you're not there like one of the people who are just sitting there having a really great time. But I had so many personal messages, both by email and people who cornered me, saying, you know what, this was really something special. And my response was, really? I can't tell. I'm on the inside. I don't know what's going on here. Was it good? And there have been so many of those that I'm starting to believe it. It's like it's a consistent database here of evidence. So I think that we pulled it off. And when I say pulled it off here, it's a little bit inappropriate in a way for me to be jumping in first, because this is Kerry's conference, it's Kerry's vision. It's a Camelot conference, of course it is, and I support it fully in every way. But because I've been in Europe, and I've flown in like a guest 3 or 4 days ago in order to be here like all the other guests, it's Kerry who's been holding the torch, who's been making this happen, and sometimes who's been making this happen against what might have seemed to be a lot of setbacks.
It's great. You know, I think it's very successful. People have come up to me. I'm just the outpouring of love and just amazing information and people coming up. I mean, even whistleblower, you know, I mean, really, it's just it's been astonishing to me of all the, you know, we've attended a fair number of conferences. I have to say that I'm very happy with what rolled out. It's almost happened like magic for me. I certainly had some times. I mean, initially I tried to do this in June, and we had some speakers back out, and it just didn't look like it could happen in such a short time. So I folded that down, and then I thought, well, do it or not do it, I don't know. And then I just thought, well, you know, what the hell? I'll, you know, dive in the deep end and go for it again, you know. And we had an investor, Don Bogatz, and without him, of course, it wouldn't have happened, because we wouldn't have that kind of money to lay out. And it is an incredible risk. He was actually, I think he was maybe even panicking about a week and a half ago or something, when
Let
the ticket
clarify.
Sales weren't quite where they
What
should
do you
be.
Mean by an investor? You mean somebody who is willing to pay the money up front to take the risk? It's not like the guy was doing it to get rich. He was doing it to stamp up the funds to get the thing moving.
Well, yes, right? But he was hoping to make money. So he really, he honestly wanted to. I mean, he didn't want to risk without making some kind of profit back, and that's understandable. I mean, that's the American way. It is. And
yeah, it is.
I mean, certainly in the world, we all need to stay alive, and we all need financial support. So, I mean, but he came forward with the goodness of his heart, because obviously he's a Camelot supporter. And this is the thing that happened with everything. The volunteers, I mean, we had a woman, her name is Peggy Gottlieb, and she donated airline miles for almost every single speaker.
Huge.
George Green was an exception, because he decided he'd pay his own way. He's just such an amazing guy, and he happened to have the extra money to do so. And I have to say that most of the speakers, not all, came forward basically on the promise that at the other end they might actually get a little bit of money, but they had no way of knowing. And I actually at this moment have no way of knowing how many people we had each day.
I worked it out very approximately. It's interesting, because I worked out the numbers based on what I asked Don last night from memory, and I crunched it into an Excel spreadsheet and did the math, because he was looking at the receipts, and then you've got to convert that to numbers, and it's all rather complicated. It works out as 400 people a day, including guests. And
that's including the guests.
Including as everyone.
Because we had a ridiculous number of people in the press, quite a few press members. It was amazing. And, you know, documentary filmmakers, this sort of thing. And on top of it, we also had at least over 20 volunteers, and they were there to handle everything under the sun. And then we had some other people that you know, weren't even sort of acknowledged, but they were back there doing some amazing things. We had some security, hidden security, I have to say, from some wonderful intuitives and just very important things. We had some dicey moments in terms of the sort of what seemed to be maybe electromagnetic targeting, or whatever you want to call it, behind the scenes of the conference at times. We worked very hard as a group to countermand that, and I think we managed. And, you know, so it turned out to be just this amazing event, at least from my point of view.
I was lucky. Let me interrupt here for both of you, because here's what I heard. Everybody is using the term miracles.
Really?
That's the term that's being used, just so that you two know.
What, this weekend?
Yes, because here's what unfolded. The magic that unfolded was astounding. Because as we were talking about off the record when we were downstairs, was that you bring all these individual people together, and you said it very eloquently, they all brought their own music. Well, in that music was energy that these people watched a play unfold that was totally magnanimous. And people that you would never have thought got it.
Yeah.
They went beyond, I get it. That's the miracles. And that's what everyone was saying. This was just a miracle.
Yeah.
This is what I learned.
That's fabulous.
It just gives me the good willies. I call them the good willies. I mean, it's just really the energy was astounding.
Yeah, I think that people, people were coming up to me afterwards, you know, the passion in their faces was extraordinary, I have to say. I've never seen anything like it.
Me either.
You know, I almost feel like, wow, you know, it would be great to be them, because they're experiencing something unique. And I think we're at a juncture. I think it's not just this conference. I think that the conference happened, and I had this feeling all along. And when Alex Collier came forward, after
special.
He wasn't able to do so before. Yeah. Yeah. And then Jordan came forward, you know, to step in for Pete. And I thought, this is special. This is unusual. We've got something going on here at this moment in time that is crucial to the next wave of stuff that's going to go on. And that this was some kind of turning point. Actually, Miriam, before she left, turned to me and she said, I think we did it. She said, I think we did it. I think we broke through whatever this barrier is. And, you know, she's very highly intuitive and psychic and so on. And that was really interesting. So I guess we'll stay tuned and see what goes on. But at least for people's lives, that's so heartwarming, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, just to see people come together, and then also to see just what happened in the audience was just, you know, when we're on stage, you know, we're watching these faces and we're watching the reactions and so on and so forth. And that was special, I have to say.
Yeah. After the Zurich conference, you forgive me making a reference for that, the team sat around in a circle in a side room, and we had like a wash up afterwards. And I'd been talking all weekend, and I wasn't prepared to say anything whatsoever. I was just like an empty vessel at that point. And then everyone turned to me to start giving some feedback to the people about what I thought had happened that weekend and what did I want to say. And it was completely blank because I wasn't on stage. And then something came to me, and this is relevant, and through me, I didn't even know where it was coming, I found myself saying, something important happened this weekend. And then everybody spontaneously agreed. It was just a perfect statement. And this has happened again, I think. It's the best way of saying this succinctly. Something important has happened. And what then in Zurich we found ourselves saying, and there's a kind of bridge over, because the connection was myself and also David Wilcock, who was there, and so on and so forth. And there's another Camelot witness who was Brian O'Leary. And several people actually who were at Zurich also came here. They're following us around the world, which is ridiculous.
But, well, Amsterdam, but, too. Amsterdam. You know, I have to say, I mean, even Barcelona, yeah. I mean, people are following us around the world. It's fascinating. I mean, it's wonderful to have that. In Vilcabamba,
but,
by God.
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing that follows that is that what we found ourselves saying was, it's not the end of it's the start of something, but we don't know what it is, and we'll find out later, you see. It's like it's the step one in a multiple stage process, and we're not party to that process because we're in it. It's like a conversation I had with a number of people who are here this weekend was looking retrospectively back in the patterns of their own lives.
Yes.
It's like, well, I found myself doing this 10 years ago, and I found myself this doing 5 years ago, and at the time I didn't know what was going on, but now I look back and it all makes sense because it's bringing me to this node point. And our journey in Camelot is very similar. It's very similar to an individual's developmental journey. We find ourselves doing something or having a personal interaction or going through a particular kind of energy or traveling somewhere or receiving messages from somewhere in some strange part of the world. And we think, well, why is this happening now? But looking back, it's all perfect because then the mosaic forms later with all these little pieces. And this mosaic, which not only contains us, but which contains a lot of other people, including Rebecca, many people who may be listening to this right now, and a lot of people who are here this weekend, this mosaic is forming. You know, it's like one of those little neat visual effects you get at the start of a Hollywood movie when all these little pieces are moving around and they're coming together and you think, now this is going to be a picture, but I can't see it yet. And then it pans back and you get this big picture and then it's like, wow, so this is what the movie's going to be about.
But I think we should also say that we got, you were telling me last night that in the last 5 weeks, we've had 1 million visitors to our site.
We had our 10 millionth visitor overnight. I just put it on the site. 10
right.
millionth unique visitor, and it's taken us 5 weeks to go from 9 million. So we're accelerating it.
I mean, there's an indication of a groundswell.
Absolutely.
See. And I was talking to George Green, and I was saying, now look at this. This is so interesting, because what happened is we went and did a little interview with him, you know, up in near Idaho, Washington border, whatever. And at the time we did the interview, we thought, oh, let's interview George Green. You know, that'll be wonderful. And he mentioned the idea and the concept of the ground crew. And of course, we latched onto that and loved the idea. Then we formed Project Avalon, a place where people could connect and network and so on that basis of being ground crew members. And out of that groundswell has come these little conferences that are sprouting up spontaneously in Europe. And when I was organizing this conference, actually, I had some people come to me and say, I mean, I wasn't even done, you know, laying the groundwork for this conference. It was like, you know, I don't even know if I had an investor at that point. I think he just came on board, and this was like 3 or 4 months ago, and they said to me, can we do one, you know, 2 weeks later in Tahoe? And then someone was writing to me, can we do one in Chicago? Can we do one in New York? Can we do one? And I was like, my mouth dropped. I didn't know what to say. I was like, certainly I can't handle it because because it's too much. It's just the organization to
but
go
the same,
behind the scenes.
But the same thing's happening all over the world. Next month we're going to Brussels, then we're going
That's
to Poland.
Right.
And
so what, anyway, to get back to my conversation with George, and I was saying, look what has happened with this concept. It's just mushrooming everywhere. And it's really a phenomena. I mean, it's really interesting. And I'm surprised there's no news item on the major
Actually,
news.
Yeah.
I
but
mean,
this
it
isn't
is
a
new, it is a movement. It has become a movement.
Yeah. It isn't a competition. We support anyone who's doing absolutely anything, which is what we always say. But it's interesting to observe that that what one could call the ground crew movement is now much larger than the extra-politics movement.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know. I can't compare, but I have
to say, because
we've
got little groups springing up all over the world.
It's happening spontaneously is the thing. I mean, Amsterdam was created with 1 week of organization. Poland happened. You even went to Poland on, you know, another week. I mean,
Poland was completely spontaneous. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
And you said there was like 500 people there or something.
Yeah.
I mean, quite a few.
Yes,
I don't know.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's just...
It is. It's a phenomenon.
It is happening.
You guys are a phenomenon. And with that energy, see, but what you've done is you've given it a platform. You've given it a platform, and that platform has sprouted.
Yeah.
It's like the seedlings.
I think it's...
And you
well,
bring together
Well, we've just centralized
these,
all this stuff that has always been out there.
It's here, it's there, and everywhere now.
But we brought
it
together,
it. Yeah.
And the, in the sense also the networking that has gone with it has become sort of cohesive in a way that it didn't before. before the UFO, whatever you want to call it, conspiracy community, was fragmented. And I have to say that from our point of view, from my point of view, what's happening here is that these people are coming together. Mm-hmm. We're even getting people coming, I'm not going to name names, that are so-called not friends of ours, you know.
Yes.
And yet they almost feel compelled. Yes. To have to be part of this community.
Yes.
And come on board and come to things and this and that. I mean, it's really astonishing. Mm-hmm. And there are bridges being built, for example, between this movement and the exopolitics movement, which happened in Barcelona.
Of course, those guys are good friends of
and
ours.
Alfred Weber came to ours, and such a lovely man and wonderful speaker. And, you know, I mean, it's just really fascinating. It's interesting to us as well. So at the same time, we're wrapped up in it. We're also observers, and we're watching the phenomena happen around us. It's almost like you just throw a stone into a pool, and the ripples are starting, and they're going and going and going. And all Bill and I did was throw the stone.
Right.
And so, you know, it's not, there's no big credit to be given.
So here's my favorite little commercial, if I had one. If you build it, they will come.
Yes.
just love it. I was like, if you build it, they will come.
Let me modify that, because that was a version of what I was just about to say then. It's like if you draft out the template on the back of an envelope, then someone else will build it.
Exactly.
It's a little bit that, because what we did was we came up with a kind of concept, and we've given it life, and we've given it humanity, and we've given it spirit. And then other people are doing all the building. You see.
Yeah, and also they're taking the idea of it, because we get emails from like Spain saying, well, I'm going out and doing the same thing Kamalot's doing, and I hope you'll support me, and, you know, I want to post your interviews, but I'm going out and, you know, interview people, and, you know, I mean, they're picking up their cameras and doing this, and they're realizing the value of putting a camera in front of someone's face and getting testimony in a very real way, and that you can reveal secrets that way, and that community is being built around that. It's really being built around the revealing of secrets, if you think about it.
Yes.
And this movement that we're part of is a movement for being awake and becoming aware of what is going on and really breaking out of the matrix mindset.
There's something else which I think we're doing, and like almost everything else that we're doing, it's not something that we're setting out with some kind of strategic plan with a deliberate intention. It's just, I mean, nothing we do is like that.
No, it's just growing. It's got a life of its own.
But what I see happening, the pattern that I observe, which is one of the most rewarding parts of my work for me, is that we are giving energy to the people who are significant individuals who've had a bit of a rough time out there. An example of that, I think it's really fine to say that, an example of that is we were able, in whatever energetic way, to extend a big arm around the shoulder of Alex Collier and make him feel safe enough to come here so that he could continue his job of communicating his important message to the world, where actually there was a time a little while ago when he said, you know what, never again. Bob Dean was like that. We brought Dean back to the
world.
That's
correct.
Jordan Maxwell was just about to say, you know what, I'm never going to do anything again.
That's right.
We went to dinner with him on Thursday night, just 3 days ago, with David Wilcock and one or two other friends of ours. It was just a dinner. and by the end of that dinner, which turned into like a private seminar, Jordan was so animated, he was so full of life, he was so happy that he was with the company of these people. Now, this isn't anything about you and me, Kerry. This has got to do very spontaneously with the people who ended up around that table.
That's
because
amazing.
This is what we do.
Yeah.
And it was that energized Jordan. So that the result of that little process was that he ended up talking to 400 people on stage, and thousands of people
on the internet heard him
on the live stream, had a wonderful example, was given so much love and so many hugs that now he's out there and he's going to do it. And next thing we know, he'll be back on Coast to Coast again, and he's going to do an interview with us this week, I believe.
Fabulous.
Look at what happens. And we're not trying to do that.
No, not at all.
That's an aspect of this phenomenon we've been describing.
But there is one thing about us, which we agreed from the outset, and that is that we wanted to bring people together. Yep. We did say that consciously
to each other.
We knew we were in a fragmented kind of community, if you will. It was a community, but it was very fragmented. People were at each other's throats, really. And we said, we're not going to do that. We are going to be a bridge. We want people to come together over us, so to speak.
Well, we're going to be around.
Like the John Lennon song.
We're going to be a round table.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly what table. It is.
And I think it's also because it's funny because we are with them. In other words, it really is a flat thing. We are with them so completely that we're side by side. There is no echelon of hierarchy going
no
on here.
Yeah. There's
and,
no
and part yeah. of the plan, part of the plan is that there is no plan overtly. And so it can't be taken down. And that's
well,
something
true, though.
Actually, it's a perfect manifestation of what Alex Collier was saying yesterday about the holographic structure.
Yes.
Yeah. Camelot is a holographic organization.
Yeah, well, the ground crew is.
It is.
And we're working on building that. We are building a building that's unseen. Okay?
That's right.
And it's the connections between people.
That's right.
And they're manifesting in huge ways. And actually, the fact you're here and we're doing this
yes.
is one of those ways.
That's right.
Because you and I made such a connection
yep.
that I had to fly you out here. I had no choice. Because, no, really, because you have been so valuable just as a friend and contributor to what we do, you know. And I just had to see you in person. I just had to have you be part of this. I didn't even know why, you know.
And I will have to tell you, with that being said, it's been my honor and my privilege to have been a participant here as well as a spectator and observer, to be a part of the panel, to sit amongst all those wonderful people that were up there, allowed me to get to know them individually and they to get to know me individually. And the exchange of ideas, the exchange is fascinating. It's just fascinating.
It is.
All the levels. And with that being said, my honor and my privilege to have been here, and I can't thank you both enough for having me to be a part of this, and obviously it's not going to be the last of it either. And with that, unfortunately, we do have to wrap this up. So Carrie Cassidy, Bill Ryan, thank you again, and of course we will continue to be in touch, and I hope to be able to do this again with you guys, either over the phone lines or
okay.
Would love to have it in person again, however that may seem.
Absolutely.
If we ever get an opportunity to see each other again in person, it'll be wonderful. Thank you very much.
Great pleasure.